This is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. You're going to find out all the aspects of hiking in our beautiful Pacific Northwest woods and a little bit beyond.
I'm a country boy with a soft side. My heart wanders up north to the hillside. And I've never met anyone quite as beautiful as you.
Check us out over CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's right, CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's where you're going to find all the show notes and links right there.
Enigmatic like that of the cosmos. Never held your hand.
I want to thank Whiskey Fever for letting me use that awesome track there. That was Tall Grass off their album, Gonna Wake Up This Whole Town. You can find them over at ReverbNation.com/WhiskeyFever. They're from Cedro Woolley, Washington. Go check them out. I'm your host, Rudy Getzik. I'm here to inspire you to get out on the trail. You putting in 2 mile hikes, 5 mile hikes? Are you still on the couch? Come on, let's go on a backpacking trip. I'm going to introduce you to some folks that have done that and a whole lot more. All right, next on the Cascade Hiker Podcast, what is your name and where are you from?
My name is Anastasia Allison, and I am from Everett, Washington.
Okay, the podcast, The Inspired Adventurepreneur. Talk about that. Explain your podcast. I know you came on real quick once before, and we talked about your amazing gift of music, but we didn't really dive in too much to the podcast. What are you doing on your podcast?
So the main idea of my podcast is to help. I use the wilderness as a catalyst for change. I have used it as a catalyst for change in my own life. And what I like to say in the podcast is that I bring mountain-infused inspiration to my listeners to help them go from stuck to summit. And I think that for me, I was, for most of my life, very paralyzed by fear, and I always had this calling and just this deep desire to pursue my passion of, you know, just adventure and living this life of just being inspired by the wilderness and inspiring others. And I was so stuck in this rut that I had unconsciously created for myself. And I think a lot of that, I felt very unfulfilled. I did not feel like I was following my own path. And I've always been this person who would rather blaze my own trail, but I didn't know how to get out of my own way. And I had a very close call, a very near fatal car accident. And for years and years, I had just been sort of dancing around this idea of being an entrepreneur and following my passion. But to be quite frank, I was too afraid to do it. And I was worried that I was going to look reckless. I was worried that I was going to be irresponsible. I was worried that I was going to end up living in a box down by the railroad tracks. And all of these things were just completely paralyzing me in place. And I was so terrified to give up this idea of like a stable job. And I was a park ranger for years. I got laid off from that job. And then I moved into another job. I was actually a police officer for about 5 years. And it was while I was serving as a police officer, I was still like teaching backpacking and running hiking groups and obsessed with the mountains. And this is just, I mean, anybody who knows me would know, okay, Anastasia needs to be in the outdoor field. Everybody who has ever met me, I'm sure that that's what they would tell you. And yet I just couldn't take that jump because I was so petrified of leaving this stability, so-called stability of this job. And like I sort of alluded, I was in this near fatal car accident that just completely shattered for me the entire illusion of stability. And I realized that I was playing very small and that I only had one life. And was I doing what I was meant to be doing in this life? And the answer to that at that point in time was no. And I just I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I just dug in and started, I guess, kind of peeling back all of these things that were paralyzing me in place and figuring out, like, why am I so stuck? Like, how did I get here? And what can I do to move past this and really jump into living this life that I had dreamed of and wanted to create for myself? And so, and I'm doing that now. I mean, that's sort of not to, to sort of like ruin the story, but that's what I did. I jumped in and I ultimately, after a lot of work, I ended up quitting my job as a police officer, jumping into full-time adventurepreneurship. And so what my podcast does is I talk a lot about my own journey to get to that point where I was ready to take that leap, and talking about a lot of the mindset and just the tangible action steps that I took to get to that place, because I really do truly believe that anything that anybody wants is out there for them. And it's just a matter most of the time of getting out of your own way to get there.
Well, and an easy way for people to find all this out too would be to listen to episode one of your podcast. And the story you tell, and you get really emotional. It really brings it all together. I tell you, it was a great episode and a great way to just start out a podcast.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, whenever you could throw your whole heart in there. And so you also interview people, but man, those the episodes where you're by yourself, you like to talk.
I do. I do. Yeah. You know, it's funny, but I mean, I'm definitely not a shy person. That's for sure. And I love to write. I love to talk. And I love to share my heart with people. I was, and I mentioned this in my podcast before, but I was severely bullied as a child. And so, and what's interesting is when I sort of got into mountain climbing and hiking, and I always felt like I could be myself in the mountains. And when I, for many, many years, I sort of lived what I would consider a little bit of a facade, where I was trying very, very hard to come across as this hardcore mountain chick with this awesome life, and just sort of like not like that I was just super hardcore. And it's interesting, because that was a point in my life where I was actually really, really struggling. And I was so afraid to share that vulnerable side of who I was, because I thought that people wouldn't be attracted to that. And what I've come to find is that the absolute opposite is true. In fact, people are much more attracted to somebody who can be raw and honest and share their fears or things that they've struggled with in their life, because that's really where we connect on a deeper level. And so, I mean, ever since was a kid, I was always writing stories about young kids in the wilderness learning the most important lessons of life through their adventures in the mountains. And that theme has just continued throughout my entire life. It's in my writing, it's in my podcasts, and it's been so neat and refreshing to actually just be able to be myself and not be afraid about that. I mean, heck, I cry on live videos on Facebook talking about how much this means to me. And you know, it's interesting, because I never would have done that before. And now I just think, hey, if I can inspire one person to push themselves or to find a little bit more fulfillment in their life or to be inspired to go out and create an adventure, I mean, gosh, what a gift that is to be able to do that for somebody else. So that just sort of keeps me going every day.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can't be, you know, nobody's going to be inspired by somebody who's just monotone and not, you know, overreacting really. And, the emotional side of it has a lot to do with it. I have a lot of people that tell me that I inspire them, and I'm like, well, I'm not out there crying and screaming and stuff either. So, you know, I don't know. I think you're definitely have an edge on me there. It's amazing, you know, when you could put it all out there like that.
Well, and I think everybody has such a unique voice. And I think that when you are truly speaking from your heart and in your voice, and for me, it's just very emotional. I mean, that's just who I am. But it's just so authentic to me. And I think if somebody else saw me and they thought, oh, I'm going to try what she's doing, and they tried to make themselves cry, or I mean, it might not come off the same. I'm not saying don't cry, but I think like finding what your voice is, and I don't try to cry. I think what happens to me is that I genuinely just get swept up in a moment, and I almost get just overwhelmed with gratitude that I'm able to share my soul like this to people, and that people actually want to listen, and just realizing that, and realizing that what I have worked so hard to create for myself, that it is actually coming true, is very, very emotional.
What was your original outlook for your podcast? So I know, like with mine, I've talked about in some of my earlier podcasts that I was really just kind of scratching my own itch. I heard that from Tim Ferriss on his podcast. And, you know, that was really what I was doing. I was trying to just give myself something that I would want to listen to. And I figured, well, if I'm going to listen to it, well, there's got to be some other people that want to as well. And so then I automatically had a list of people, a list of things that I wanted to learn about and just kind of, you know, really dive into. What was kind of the outlook for your future of your podcast, and as far as that goes?
You know, that's a really great question. I think I really am sort of inspired by a couple things. So one is just really offering valuable content to help people sort of reflect on what they are going through in their own lives. And maybe they have a light bulb moment of, oh man, this fear that she's talking about that she went through, like I can relate to that. And if she can overcome that fear and move beyond it, maybe I can too. So I would say, number one, to offer hope to other people, because I look around me and I see a lot of people who are stuck, or they are in jobs that they perhaps don't like, or they want to turn their passion into a paycheck and they have no clue how to get started, or they live with this belief that there's sort of this elite class of people who get to live their dream. And I don't think that's the case. I always say this I run a hiking group on Facebook, and I don't say this to be mean to myself, but I always say I'm not special. And I don't mean that in the sense that I'm not a special person. I think we're all special people, but like, I'm not special in that this is reserved for people like me, for instance. I really think that following your heart is something that anybody can do. And the people who know me know that I'm a normal person who essentially just was really willing to dive in and figure out all the things that were holding me back and keeping me stuck in place. And so that's one thing I want to do, is to offer people hope. And when I wrote a mission statement for myself, it may have been like a year or two ago. And I wrote in that mission statement that I wanted to impact millions of people with my own love of the wilderness and really inspire people to create their own adventures and reconnect with who they are at their core. And I think that that's something that somewhere along the way gets lost. People get to this point in their life and they just think, well, gosh, who am I? And what am I here for? And I think that the wilderness is a place that offers people that space to reconnect with who they are without judgment or without comparison. You can just exist there and the lessons that we learn in the wilderness are so, so applicable to life. And you can like look at fear in the face in the wilderness, and you can get this incredible strength from going and doing something like summiting a peak. And now how can we take that strength and put it to use in our normal lives, or our, I guess, at home lives, to then find more fulfillment. And so that's sort of a jumbled explanation, but I sort of just have this overarching vision of a world of these inspired adventurers out there, just making the world a better place by focusing on what an amazing place we live in. And that's sort of, I guess I don't want to get too far off topic, but I think one of the other things as well is that we live in a world where we're constantly bombarded by negativity. And I think people lose touch a little bit with what an amazing place our planet is. And when you go out into the wilderness, and I'm not saying that you can't experience anger or frustration or sorrow in life, and there are definitely things that we can all be frustrated or sad about, but when you go out into the wilderness and you can see the sunrise on Mount Rainier, or you can watch a sunset over an alpine lake, it's just such a reminder of why it's, this world is worth fighting for, and how beautiful it is. And so just this inspired adventure edge is what I'm hoping to bring to people's lives in whatever way that they need it.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. You know, that really explains it all. Well, what about, you know, I also noticed on your website that, you know, kind of going away from the podcast a little bit, but it's all tied in, I'm sure. You know, you also, you kind of have a business outside of the podcast. What is that, and what do you do?
So I do a couple things right now. So I teach backpacking, and I have been a backpacking instructor with a nonprofit organization called Washington Outdoor Women for the past almost 10 years now. And with Washington Outdoor Women, I am strictly a volunteer. I teach a 4-hour backpacking class at their weekend workshop in September of every year. And one of the things so I've been teaching backpacking for a very long time. It's something that I'm very passionate about, but I always had this vision of more of a immersive backpacking course for women, because one of the things that always frustrated me is that teaching backpacking for 4 hours is just sort of it's like dipping your toe into the water of backpacking. And what I realized is that there'd be women who would go through my backpacking class, but then they might never actually go backpacking. And that always left me wanting more, because I really wanted to be able to teach women the skills and then have them apply them almost immediately, so that they don't lose that sense of confidence and empowerment of being able to go out into the wilderness feeling good about it. And so I essentially took my curriculum from the 4-hour class, got way more in depth into it, and created a 2.5-day class. So the first day is about 8 hours of skills. The second day, what we do is we actually pack our packs and we go on a backpacking trip. And then the third day is sort of when we hike out. And it has just been so neat to see. I have a woman who had never even slept in a tent before, and just seeing the smile on her face when we got back from the trip, and how amazing she felt about just knowing, like, I can do this, and I can go out into the wilderness and have these experiences. And all the fears and reservations she had about it were just completely gone. And so that's something that I've been doing and has been extremely rewarding and extremely fun. And I'm actually teaching another class this coming weekend. I think it's going to be a little rainy, so that should be interesting. But but so far, it's a very, very small class. I don't take more than 5 people in a class, so it's very, very personalized.
And they're all women?
It's all women so far, yes. I actually would love to do a couples class, but so far I've only taught women.
And I would think like a rainy day backpacking trip would be perfect. I mean, you know, that's really all part of it, right?
Well, it is. And man, I have had some of the craziest experiences backpacking in the rain. And what's interesting is the very first class I taught, we ended up having absolutely perfect weather. And so I ended up having to do a lot of teaching around, okay, yeah, we're really lucky this weekend and we got some really good weather, but sort of here's what happens if you don't have the great weather. And these are some things that you can do to make your backpacking experience slightly less miserable. So I think we're going to end up with a real deal this time, which is going to be fun.
Yeah, that's good. So in your podcast, you talk about, and I see too, that you have some blogs and whatnot. You talk about that you're now making a living off of backpacking. Is this what you mean by that, or is there more to that than just the classes?
That is what I'm doing now. So currently I'm teaching the backpacking and making a living doing that. In fact, I was able to replace my full-time police salary with my teaching my backpacking classes, which is pretty exciting, coming from somebody who for 20 years believed that they couldn't actually do what they loved for a living. My plan in the future is that I'm actually in the process of updating my website, and I'm going to be launching some coaching programs. So that's something that I am extremely interested in and extremely passionate about, is coaching other adventure-minded folks on how they can pursue their own passions. And like I said, I'm specific about who I really work with, and everybody that I've been working with so far is a very adventure-minded person. So people who see themselves pursuing some sort of career path or in the outdoor world. So I have worked with some bloggers and folks who are looking to start their own podcasts, and just really sort of in those beginning stages of not knowing what they don't know and wondering where to even get started, because it can be very, very overwhelming.
Yeah. Especially with the aspirations of once a week. I know that's what mine is, and it's sometimes a little hectic to get that out there. Is that what you're trying to do? It says so on your show notes.
Yeah. So I've been trying to do at least once a week, if not twice. And so it is tough. And I am a one woman show. So I am writing on my blog. I run a very, very active hiking Facebook group. I have two Facebook groups that I'm running right now. One is sort of the Inspired Adventurepreneur group, and then another one is more of a hiking specific group. So I'm doing both of those, and then I'm teaching the backpacking. And then when I sort of can fit in time, I'm out playing my violins in the mountains, or, you know, trying to do a video for YouTube, and then writing my blog. And so just sort of getting into a schedule of staying organized with all of these things. I mean, it's very overwhelming, but it's also really fun. And that is the exciting part for me, is that it doesn't feel like work. I get so excited about what I'm doing and so excited to share it. And I feel like I just get ideas all the time. And the coolest part about being an entrepreneur or an adventurepreneur, however you want to say it, is that you have the freedom to just let it evolve constantly. And that's where I always felt stuck in my previous careers, is that I would get into a new job and I would sort of get all excited about what I could do. And then 3 to 4 years in, I would sort of get that itch to do something else. But unfortunately I was stuck in a structured environment. And so there's only so much creativity you can exude as a police officer. And not that you can't be creative, because you can, but for me, I love things to evolve at a very quick pace, and I'm constantly coming up with ideas. And so this is just perfect for me. I am never bored.
Hey, I've got a way to support the show today. That is just clicking a few things on my website. So if you go to the show notes of the episode, check out mytrailcompany.com. If you like GoLight, then this is the original owner of GoLight. It took it all back, has original products and stuff. And you just click through my link there, and I get a little credit for that. Also, REI, if you shop REI online, then go to my show notes, click through the REI.com logo, and it's the same website. You're just giving me a little bit of kickback. And the same with Amazon. If you shop Amazon at all and you want to support the show, pretty easy. Just click through my website, and you're going to get the same exact Amazon. It's just going to give me a little kickback as well. One of the best ways to support the show, of course, is patreon.com/CascadeHikerPodcast. And that's joining me. That's my little spot there. And, you pledge $1 or $5 a month, that all goes right back to the show. So you're supporting the show, you're supporting me, and I appreciate you as a listener. Now back to the episode.
You mentioned also that you're writing for like online or a magazine or something.
I am. So I am a trail scout for Backpacker Magazine. And what that means is that I essentially am the liaison for the entire Seattle region for backpackers. So I will actually work with various tourism entities. So for instance, like Whatcom County might want to coordinate with me and get some of their outdoor events featured in Backpacker. So for instance, like Bellingham has the Ski to See, and I'm actually talking with them about getting something along those lines into Backpacker Magazine. I keep Backpacker updated on all the latest news from the Seattle area. And then I also do a little bit of gear testing for them as well. So they'll send me a piece of gear and I rigorously test it because I go on a lot of backpacking trips and then submit my reviews to them on various items. So far, I've been testing a tent, shoes, and so it's been a really, really good fit for me. And just having the opportunity to sort of pitch some story ideas to Backpacker has been really fun, and just being able to sort of have my pulse or my finger sort of on the pulse of the Seattle outdoor news has been really fun as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Have you ever written any articles about podcasts?
You know, I have not yet. I probably should do that though. That actually is a great idea, like putting in some local Seattle podcasts and getting them featured in Backpacker, because I mean, Backpacker is actually, it's such a great platform for a lot of local, like just really promoting a lot of the local stuff that we have going on in Seattle. And I go on a ton of backpacking trips and hiking trips all the time. And so I don't only cover stuff from Seattle, but I'm definitely sort of their liaison. But I know that one of the unfortunate things about the Pacific Northwest is that, believe it or not, it is so heavily covered in Backpacker because it is one of the most impressive areas in the entire United States, is that they actually spend a lot of time looking for places or trips and destinations in other areas other than the Pacific Northwest, just because we have no shortage of incredible places to go and visit. So.
Well, cool. Well, hey, I was just looking at your online shop and I really like the name of your hiking group and the name of one of your stickers. And can you talk about where that came from and what it says?
Yeah. So the name of my hiking group is called Toward the Mountaintop Inch by Inch. And that came from a painting that my mom gave to me years ago. I don't think she realized what type of a monster she was going to unleash with this painting. And I think she probably just thought, oh, Anastasia likes mountains, I'm going to get this for her. But it is a beautiful little painting of Mount Fuji. And in the foreground, there's a vase with a plant on it, and then there's a little snail climbing up the leaf of the plant. And at the bottom of the painting, it just says, toward the mountaintop, inch by inch. And I remember when my mom gave that to me, and for some reason, it just hit me hard. Like, that is sort of a metaphor for my life. Is that mountains are not climbed in one giant step. They're climbed over the course of thousands upon thousands of steps. And it really is all about that journey. And it's so easy to wish that you were further along in the journey, but any mountain climber will tell you that if you get dumped off by helicopter at the top of a mountain, that doesn't count as actually climbing the mountain. You actually have to take all the steps. And so that whole idea of toward the mountaintop, inch by inch, became the story of my life. And I truly believe that you can accomplish anything, and that the power of daily compounding positive action, it's just such a powerful force. Like, being consistent, doing things over and over again, and just having that mission and vision. And I think the same thing goes for backpacking and hiking. And so that's why I started this group. Was it is a very non-pretentious group of inspired adventurers who are looking to create their own adventures and to use those adventures as fuel for finding greater fulfillment in their life. And so what I do in that group is I jump into the group and I teach a lot of skills. So this past week, I've actually been doing a miniature compass course. So we've practiced taking bearings with compasses in the course. We just had a photo contest. We're making a calendar. We had our first in-person meetup in September, which was absolutely fantastic. And we're having another meetup in November. And the whole group, it's just so positive. And there's such a wide range of experience levels in the group. So we have people in this group. And I like to say that the group is for anybody who wants to climb Everest or just go look at a tree. It doesn't matter. It's just about getting in touch with the wilderness in whatever way feels good to you, and just being encouraging and supporting each other in our own personal exploration. And it's just been a totally inspiring group. And I started it with three people, and I think we're now up to maybe over 600 people, but it is so positive. There's no drama in the group, and which is also really awesome. And it's just been a great way to encourage people to maybe move a little bit past their comfort zone and get out and try something new. And when I first got started hiking and mountaineering, so many people reached out to me and helped me on my journey. And so I've always just felt it was my responsibility to pay that forward by helping other people, because I know that there's people out there that, oh, I want to start hiking, but I don't even know where to start or what to do or where to go. And same thing with backpacking or mountaineering. And so I talk about all those things in the group. And over the course of, I'm not sure how long I've had the group now, maybe a year, but it's just really developed into this beautiful place and a really beautiful community of inspired adventurers. So it's been pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I really like the, just that the way you described that painting and stuff is cool, but man, the saying too is just really neat. I like that. It does really ring true to just kind of the way hiking and just really life is inch by inch. So, I also wanted to kind of ask you about the name Adventurepreneur. Where did that come from?
I wish I had a super exciting answer to that, but I just made it up. So I consider myself, I love the inspired side of it, because, I mean, when I first started on this journey, if you had told me 5 years ago that I would be meditating and having a gratitude practice, I probably would have laughed at you a little bit, but I have really tapped into that more emotional side of myself, and just some of, I guess, that I guess I like to call it maybe the spirituality of the mountains, and really sort of harnessing that energy in my own life and putting it to work to help inspire people. And so that's sort of the inspired aspect of it. And then entrepreneur sounded a little boring. And I thought my vision for my life is to really integrate my work and my life together. So when you're jumping off into something like this, as you probably know, it's not like I go to work and then I'm done work. It's no longer like that anymore. It's this very integrated lifestyle. And so for me, it's a very, very important part of my life that I am still able to have my own adventures in my life. I mean, I just got back from an overnight trip yesterday. I go backpacking, I would say, probably 2 to 3 times a month. Still, even though I'm still running my business, I am still incorporating my hiking and my own adventures into my life, because I believe that it is the fuel that continuously drives me and sort of reinvigorates me. And so I think that is what it is. It's not just about the business. It's about creating this life and just a very courageously and consciously designed life with this very inspired sense of adventure at the core of all of it.
Well, that's a good description. Just to have you know, I did Google adventurepreneur, and the Urban Dictionary has a whole different meaning of it. But
oh no, what do they say?
Oh, you'll have to look it up.
I will have to look it up. I hope mine's better.
It is. They're actually pretty close. I'm just kidding. But it is in there. Anyway, I did want to jump back real quick and ask, is your Facebook group for women only? Because, you know, we talked about your backpacking classes and stuff.
Right. So it is not. It is for men and women. The Toward the Mountaintop Inch by Inch, you could just search for it on Facebook. It's for men and women. Anybody is welcome to join. You don't have to have any hiking experience. You just have to have a really positive attitude and love the wilderness. Even if you've never gone on a hike, it doesn't matter. You just have to have a desire to want to incorporate some aspect of the wilderness in your life, and we will welcome you with open arms. The backpacking classes have only been for women so far because I am teaching those on my own. And my husband actually is a pretty accomplished backpacker and mountaineer as well. And so we are hoping to at some point be able to offer a couples backpacking course, because sharing the wilderness with somebody else is just really magical. And I know my husband and I, we've climbed all the volcanoes in Washington together. I mean, the best times in my life have been spending weekends in the mountains with him. All of our trips are backpacking trips. And so being able to give that gift to other couples of showing them, if they've never gone backpacking before and want to start doing that, that's something that I will add into my courses at some point in the future for sure.
Well, and when you do open it up to men, you never know, there might be an aspiring rap artist from Marysville that signs up.
Oh my gosh. You know, I bet that guy's going to be kicking himself that he didn't.
I just wanted to also plug, I've been plugging it lately, and this is just for listeners of the podcast, Cascade Hiker Podcast. I also have a group on Facebook that I've been trying to get more listeners on, and that's the Cascade Hiker Podcast group, Hiking and Backpacking. So anyway, just a quick plug for that group as well for you listeners out there. So I wanted to ask you a question, and usually when I ask this question, the answer is always yes, because I only ask it when I think that it would be good. And I'm curious if you have aspirations yourself to write a book.
Oh, yes. I actually, that is so funny. I I actually have written four chapters of my book, and I alluded to earlier that I had written this grand vision statement for myself. And one of the things that I wrote in that vision statement, and it's kind of funny because I wrote the vision statement out, and I remember the moment when I was going to share it. And in my heart, I thought, I want to have a New York Times bestseller. And I was going to write my vision statement and share it with people. And I, for a very brief amount of time, deleted the words New York Times bestseller because I was so afraid to share that that's what I really wanted, because there still was that part of me that thought, okay, well, what if I tell people this and then I don't actually accomplish that? And so it was just this piece of me that was so afraid of failure. And just before I was about to share this mission and this vision with people, I remember thinking, no, wait, you can't sell yourself short. Like, if this is something that you really want and something that you truly believe that you can do, you need to include that in there, because you could be inadvertently like cutting off the channels by which something like that could happen. And that's one of the things that I talk a lot about on my podcast as well, is like, don't sell yourself short. If you want to have a New York Times bestseller, then say it, because that's the only way that it's actually going to happen. And so the answer, the long answer to your very short question is yes, I do want to write a book, and it's already in the process. And my goal is for it to become a New York Times bestseller. And I am in the process of reverse engineering my way back from that. So I sort of look at, okay, New York Times bestseller, how do I even start?
Yeah. Well, I, you know, just kind of interrupt you there. I'm kind of wondering, you know, you said one of your goals is to write and publish a New York Times bestseller. Does it have to be the first book?
It doesn't. It just has to happen at some point. So it absolutely doesn't. And I never really specifically laid that out. I think that would be cool. And that would be a way to sort of start with a bang. But I mean, for me, it's just it is a vision, and it is something that I want to accomplish. And I know that I will. I mean, I have no shadow of a doubt. I can see the cover of the book in my mind. And like I said, I've already written a few chapters of a book, and I've been writing for years and years and just absolutely love doing it. And I want to be able to give something tangible to people who really connect with the wilderness. And I mean, there's a lot of books out there that will inspire people. But this is sort of my niche, is these inspired adventurers and people who are going to be able to read what I say and know exactly what I'm talking about, and then be able to apply those lessons that they've also experienced in the wilderness, but they could look at those like, hey, I climbed the mountain and I got through all of these fears in order to stand on the summit of this peak. Now, how do I take that same sense of strength and confidence that I have when I'm out in the mountains? And how do I apply that in my normal life, which, I mean, I hate to say it, but mountains, I've always felt, are much, much easier than our quote unquote normal life. Like, the problems that we face on a day-to-day basis, things can be very, very stressful and difficult. And the mountains, yeah, it can be difficult, but it's in a different way. And I've always felt like the lessons out there just make so much more sense to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it doesn't have to be a home run on the first hit. I mean, you know, don't let yourself down by not getting on the New York Times the first time around. But if you said, that's awesome.
I'm not hard on myself. And that's another thing that I've learned too, is you have to have a little bit of forgiveness with yourself and give yourself a little bit of grace. Like, this is a learning process. And what's really been cool for me is just almost the chance to explore my own mind and how it works. And I like to say that for so many years, I was lost in the how. Like, I knew where I wanted to go, but I didn't know how to get there. And so I just allowed that not knowing to stop me. And now I've totally shifted my mindset. like, I don't know exactly how it's going to happen that I'm going to do all these things, but you just have to have this belief in yourself and this trust and just allow things to unfold. And that sounds like a lot of woo, but it actually works. And it's just, I mean, it's just been incredible to watch the process of starting from scratch and just building something really beautiful and changing lives along the way. So it's just been awesome so far.
Well, like I'm reading right here on your website, Theodore Roosevelt once said, believe you can, and you're halfway there.
Oh man, belief is everything. And that is one thing that I personally struggle with. And I mean, I've mentioned this before with you so far, but being bullied as a kid and just having a very, very low self-confidence in myself, finding that belief, that was really, really hard. And it's the same thing with everybody else. We are our own worst enemy sometimes, and we are the fiercest competitor that we will ever face, because like we see ourselves so differently than everybody else sees us. I think I can look at somebody who is writing a blog and just think, oh my gosh, this person is so talented and so incredible and they have so much to offer and wow, they're going to go places. And then you would talk to that person and I guarantee you that they will have all these doubts about themselves and think that they aren't doing enough. And so how quickly we talk our way out of all the ways that we are unique and all the gifts that we have to give to the world. And I imagine a place where everybody just was sort of free to share their story and give what they have to the world and share all their unique gifts, and how beautiful that would look, and how many times people just doubt their story. And so if I can inspire even just one person to share their story or to find a little bit more belief in themselves, to push themselves into something that they really love. That's what wakes me up every single morning. It's what I think about when I'm attempting to fall asleep and having a hard time falling asleep because I get so excited about it. And so, I mean, it's just, for me, it's an obsession, and in a good way.
Great. Well, on those, in your Facebook group, I would love to see in the future, maybe even just one or two a year. I'd love to see you have some events with Rose where you're actually scheduling something out ahead of time. And, you know, even if it's a charged thing, that would be just amazing to witness.
Well, and I would love to do that. So at my very first Facebook group meetup, Rose actually showed up with her piano and I brought my violin, and we had this beautiful little impromptu concert for everybody in the group. And in November at our meetup, I have another meetup November 12th. And I, as long as the weather is okay, I will plan to bring my violin. I do perform my violin in my live videos in the hiking group. So usually if I do a lot of live videos in the group doing little skills-based Q&As, and I will usually put a little violin emoji on the live video. So any video that has a little violin emoji, I usually do a performance at the end of that video. But one thing Rose and I have talked about is perhaps doing a fundraiser with our violin and piano, and making using the money that any money or donations that we get, donating them to some sort of an outdoor cause, and just using it as a vehicle for good and a vehicle to give back to the outdoor community.
Yeah, that'd be great. Let's talk a little bit, because obviously you said you listen to my podcast. You started your own podcast. So maybe you could just rattle off for listeners maybe some podcasts that you listen to.
Oh, that's a great one. So I love Lewis Howe's School of Greatness. I listen to, the She Explores podcast is also fantastic. I listen to How They Built That on, I think that's an NPR podcast, or maybe it's I'm not sure of the exact, the parent programming of that, but I listen to that one. I listen to the Tony Robbins podcast on occasion. I listen to Radiolab. I listen to so many podcasts. I listen to Serial. I listen to This American Life. I listen to S-Town. So I sort of do like a combination of entrepreneurial, inspirational podcasts, and then I will do a lot of storytelling podcasts and sort of humanitarian stories. I'm trying to think of what other ones I have on there right now. I listen to so many podcasts. And yours, of course, but I already mentioned that one. So, I mean, there's so many great ones out there right now, and it's just so cool. You can just get all this information at the touch of your fingers. And so that's one of the things when I first started and decided that I was going to do a podcast, I remember looking at other people's podcasts and thinking, oh man, I shouldn't do this because there's already so many people out there making podcasts. So like, how could mine ever be successful? And I sort of fell into that comparison trap and talked myself out of it for a while and then convinced myself, well, you don't have a recording studio, so you better not get started. And finally, I realized, okay, come on, you're just being paralyzed by fear yet again. And so I record my podcast. I actually have a closet in my gear library that's filled with all of my down jackets and my backpack, and I have my little microphone set up in there. And I have only ever had one guest in the closet, and that was my mom, because she's the only one who would ever tolerate actually sitting in a closet.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've interviewed a few different podcasters before you, and one of them was Hiking Podcast First 40 Miles, and they do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and actually I've heard of that podcast, and I have yet to listen to it, and in fact, I'm jotting it down as we speak, because you are now the second person who's mentioned that one to me, and so that's another one that I'm going to have to listen to. But it's so cool, because all these people who are hiking, and it's so, what's interesting to me is that if you have that story to tell, like hiking is such a tactile experience, and so talking about hiking in a podcast, I think, was something that initially when I got this idea of talking about the mountains, well, how can you do that? Because you're just speaking. But if you can share those experiences in a really emotional way that connects people, I think you don't have to be on the trail to understand the power of hiking or the power of the mountains. Like, you can reach people with the wilderness, even just with your voice on a radio. It's just amazing.
Well, the same thing I told them when I met them in person. I said, I will forever imagine you sitting in your closet recording your podcast. I'm going to say the same thing to you, because now when I listen to your podcast, that's what I'm going to see.
Well, and I wish you could see it, because I should take a picture of it and put it on my website, because the closet, when my mom did the podcast with me, it was hilarious. She was actually sitting, there's not even enough room for two chairs in my closet. So my mom was actually sitting in a bin of backpacking food. So, I mean, it just could not, but like the cool thing about it was that it was, like I had mentioned before, so many people get stuck in that, okay, well, I need to wait until it's perfect. And that was me. I needed, I need a certification, or I need all this expensive recording gear. And finally I just said, look, I don't have a super fancy intro. It's just me talking, and I have a microphone, but I think that if your mission is good and your heart is in the right place and you have something to share with the world, then I think you should just go for it. Because if you're waiting for the time to be right and the time to be perfect, you're going to be waiting for the rest of your life. You just won't do it.
Yeah. And you know, intros are overrated. I have people sometimes, when they first hear my episodes, they'll say, man, your intro is way too long, but I just love it. But you know, you just, that's why I say they're overrated.
Oh, see, you know, I got to say, I like your intro, and I love the music. And so for me, I am a little bit not quite as technically savvy with those sorts of things. And so I tried to do it, but I ended up, it just sounded so awkward. And so finally I just thought, you know, I don't want to get stuck in the details of this and delay doing the podcast because of an intro. So I'm just going to basically say the intro. And so that's what I've been doing. I record it every single solitary time. I say the exact same thing, and it's worked. So,
well, it's too bad you don't know any musicians.
I know, right? Well, that's the funny thing. I've actually thought, oh, you should like record yourself maybe playing some music for the start of your podcast. And I just haven't gotten around to it. Although on my very last podcast that I did, which actually I think probably released this morning, I usually try to release them on Monday morning around 8 a.m. I actually did play my violin on the podcast. This is the first time I've ever done it. And believe it or not, I actually brought the violin into this closet, which was very difficult because I had sort of to scoot myself out of the way of bumping into all of my backpacks while I was playing. And it, I mean, I think it turned out great. But yeah, my violin did make it onto the podcast for the very first time.
Well, that's good. Check that off the list. Yeah. yeah. You know, don't get hung up on that stuff. I like talking about podcast stuff, but, we should probably move on from that because I don't know how much listeners like it, but it is kind of fun to chat about that stuff and get to see the back, you know, the behind the scenes, so to speak. And,
exactly.
Was there anything you wanted to say before we sign off?
No, you know, I just am so excited to have the opportunity to share what I'm doing with people. And this, I think for me, it really just comes from my heart and from my own love of the wilderness. And I have just seen how powerful of a healing tool and just an experience. Like, I have just seen people who have never gone hiking before, never gone backpacking, and then they start to explore that adventurous side of who they are and just watching that ripple into other areas of their life. And then being able to help people take that obsession or their passion with the wilderness and helping them get past their own fears and really start to pursue this very adventure inspired life of their own creation. Like, to me, just, I mean, having the chance to do that for other people, it was just totally humbling. And I'm just excited that I got to share some of my heart and what inspires me with your listeners.
Well, great. And listeners, go check out her podcast. It really is inspiring. And, you know, Anastasia, thanks so much for coming on the Cascade Hiker podcast again.
Oh, you are so very welcome. It was such an honor to talk to you.
All right, that's the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Don't forget to join the Patreon page. Find me at patreon.com/CascadeHikerPodcast. Also, hit me up with an email, Rudy@CascadeHikerPodcast.com. Find me on Facebook. My Facebook page is Cascade Hiker Podcast. Twitter, find me at @in_CascadeHiking. And I'm Cascade Hiker Podcast on Instagram. One more time, thanks to Whiskey Fever for letting me use that awesome track there. Go find them at reverbnation.com/whiskeyfever. Hey, see you next week.
You were sweet like honey on a heartbeat. You were fine like wine in the sunshine. I could feel you coming on strong. Could never be wrong, could never be wrong. See her laying down in the tall grass, playing mandolin in a white dress. So come running when I hear that song. It could never be wrong, it could never be wrong. Where you wanna run, baby, I'll run too. I would leave this world for a beautiful girl if I could.